Again, my name is Alexis Moreno. I'm a research analyst at the Research and Evaluation Unit with SSG, Special Service for Groups. We are not per se an academic institution, but many of the factors that go into doing community-based research from a university setting also came into play on our project. And I'll talk a little bit about those in detail as we move further ahead in the presentation. So the project I'm talking about this morning is the Fremont High School Community Clinic and Community Garden. In South Los Angeles, which as many of you may know, is a primarily Latino and historically African-American community, SSG was contracted by the UMA Community Clinic and LA Neighborhood Land Trust to help them do a community-engaged assessment. They were really looking to figure out what kind of programming would best serve the community as they developed this joint project on the campus of the high school in South Los Angeles. We started in spring of 2011 and finished up with a findings report with community recommendations in 10 major areas. And we really started this process not looking at epidemiological data, because that is very well documented for our area. We know in South LA that it's underserved medically, it's underserved with mental health resources, it's a food desert or an area that's characterized by what some are now calling food apartheid. So that kind of data we knew was out there, and it was easy to get, and it was pretty well familiar to many of the administrators and organizations involved. What we really asked the clients to think about with us was how can we have the community ownership into this project at a different level. And the way that we figured out to do that was to do a community-engaged assessment rather than just a community assessment. Our idea and our strategy was to work directly with community members and train them to do research in their own community. We worked with a group of 9 students from the high school and a group of 10 adults. And we worked with them through every stage of the research process, including the design, the data collection, and interpretation and sharing of results. And what we really set out to do was to ground the research questions in the community members' experiences and hopes. This, for those of you who are familiar with community organizing, this is one of the ways that you really get people engaged. You get their ownership, you get them energized by really asking, why does it matter to you? Why is this important in your life? We did a mixed method approach. We had 10 focus groups, 14 key informant interviews. I'm gonna go back for a second. We had surveys, an adult survey with 189 participants, a student survey, and some of that was in person and online, and then we had a really fun participatory photography project. Three things that I'll really spend the time on this morning talking about. Getting buy-in and moving to deep engagement of and ownership of the assessment and the project by community members. Using community organizing and popular education methods to increase community participation. And this was both during the research process and beyond, and I'll talk a little bit about beyond at the end. And the third item is creating actionable recommendations with community members. The photo here is some of our high school students. They came out over 4 weeks at lunchtime at their campus to do surveys with their peers. And this was a lull in the event, but I like this picture because you'll see my colleague Arturo in the background, but really at the table, the staff, it was the young people who were really the face of the project as we were doing the survey on the campus. So this question of buy-in, we really wanted to move beyond buy-in to deep engagement. And the starting point was that the community was both very enthusiastic about these new resources coming into their neighborhood, but also very skeptical. Part of the skepticism came from the fact that the location for this clinic and garden was on an empty part of the school campus that had been vacant for 20 years. And over that period, there had been various projects proposed and perhaps even initiated that never got built. And the site had become kind of, you know, what we call an attractive nuisance. There was stuff going on there that was not so good, not so safe for the people in the neighborhood. Additionally, there had been a garden project started prior to this clinic and community garden that never got off the ground, and that created some friction that I'll talk more about in a minute. Our approach, so we went in, we kind of started to feel that people were skeptical. They loved this idea of having a clinic and garden, but they still had their doubts because of long history in the community. The first strategy for us was transparency. We talked about who we are. We're SSG. We were a contractor to the people building the clinic. We talked about our role as being facilitators of this community engagement process. We talked about the limitations that we ourselves were not the decision makers about what would happen at the project, but we could help them really craft a strong message to those who are making the decisions. Building trust was very important. Those of us on our team who worked on this felt it was very important to share both who we are, not just our professional credentials, but what is our family background and what do we care about, and that we also allow time and space for honest conversations. And we talk about also really a strong framework that we used is that as outside researchers, we could never have the perspective that somebody who lives in the community has. And so our job was to help them articulate that, to document it, to put it forward in a strong way. We also allowed conversations on what I called hot topics. And this was everything from how people are treated at clinics in the community, how some conflicts or differences between the Latino and African American community. We even had a hilarious conversation about what should be grown in the garden. There was one of the top survey items that came up was cilantro. Some of you might know it as coriander, and there was this really long debate about African Americans don't eat cilantro. Oh yes, we do. Oh no, we don't. And you know, why do we need cilantro in the garden? It grows everywhere. So this was happening with the African American community researchers. The Latino researchers were kind of sitting back and watching it all unfold. And we really had to kind of let this conversation flow because it was really important for the researchers themselves to be thinking about how do different people in the community eat? What are their needs? How do we relate to one another around food and gardening and the garden, the plans for a garden? So that was a totally unexpected hot topic. Engaging with existing assets, to do our outreach and to have our researchers and students really go out and talk about this project with their peers and their neighbors and their comadres and other people who are involved in the community, we really tapped into existing organizations. So they were already working on some school issues, some wellness issues, some safety issues. And what we really found by engaging the community members as researchers is that we reached a different group of people than we may have otherwise. Not only did we go to the established groups, but we also had our community researchers were door knocking. They were getting groups of their friends and neighbors and other parents that they knew together, and they were reaching sort of the unaffiliated people who weren't already involved in these organized bodies. And that gave us a much deeper reach to find out both the needs and the hopes of the community for this space and this project. Some of the organizing and popular education methods we used, this idea of political anger. People had been mistreated at some clinics, at some facilities. They felt that they were not given the information up front about cost and eligibility for medical services. And a lot of these experiences really colored their view about whether or not they would use the Fremont clinic there or whether they thought their neighbors would use it or not. And we really created the space to hear these things that had angered them, that were unjust, that were not right in their experience so far. And we used it to craft some questions and to check and see if this experience, number one, was shared by others, and number two, to really make some strong recommendations that the clinic providers provide this kind of orientation and information and transparency to the people in the community to really reduce those barriers. We did an informal power analysis within the adult researchers particularly, they talked about, well, we need to make sure the school principal's on board. We need to talk to the folks at the school district. It was even down to the level of, we need to talk to the what they call the shot callers of the gang that hangs out on the corner where this facility is going to be. They really had a very in-depth power analysis. So the adult researchers recommended having respectful staff and having upfront information. They took us beyond what we even imagined by saying that the community garden should really reach beyond the boundaries of the school and teach people how to grow things at home, how to grow their own food in containers in whatever space they had. And then another topic that came up that we didn't anticipate would be quite so strong was having job training and social enterprise and local hiring opportunities connected to the clinic and the garden. As the providers and the clients were thinking about this project, they were thinking more specifically about job training for youth. And the adults said, job training for youth is good, but we can't support our families if we don't have jobs for adults, so that really needs to take precedence. This is a list of the recommendations. The PowerPoint's on the website, so you can get a better sense of this. Another topic that the community brought up to us, and the youth, especially with the need to target outreach to boys and men to get them into the clinic for services, the kind of, I guess we would call them cultural barriers, but they would give us very vivid examples of being in health class and the teacher talking about the female anatomy, and all the teenage boys would laugh, but they wouldn't ask any questions. And so they really talked about the need to kind of get beyond those, the embarrassment or the shyness or the reluctance for boys and men to come into the clinic. The results and the next steps. So our researchers, both the adults and the youth, shared their experiences, hopes, and their recommendations as a result of the research at a town hall meeting to introduce this project to the community and at the groundbreaking. And this photo here has Mary Romero with the long black hair and gray sweatshirt. She was one of our star adult researchers. Talking to Precious, who has the braids, and a community organizer, and the poster there is the data that came out of their research. So I want to wrap up just by saying that I'm just about done here. We are really fortunate and happy that the level of engagement that came as a result of this research process is continuing to the planning and programming of the clinic and garden, and that's the next stage of the project. And also we've had interest from the local school district in using this approach at their other school-based clinic. They really praised us for getting deep and doing a deep assessment and having a deep level of engagement. And I'll be happy to take your questions at the end. Thank you.